because God is good. May God help us to arrive at the point spiritually when, in all sincerity, we can share with David the emotion, the feeling of gratitude when he said, I was glad. Psalms 122 verse 1. When they say unto me, let us go into the house of God and worship. The Almighty God is the one who keeps us here. The Almighty God is the one who provides for our needs. The Almighty God is the one who extends mercy to each one of us. I mean each one of us for another day. Truly is worthy of the worship that we can give. You know, it is wonderful to know and to be convinced, and you need only to look at Jesus Christ at Calvary. It is wonderful to know that God loves us. It is wonderful to be a member of the church that was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is wonderful to have our sins forgiven. It is wonderful to have God on our side. It is wonderful to have God's favor in our lives. But it is also wonderful to be on God's side, the God whose power is greater than our problem. The God whose strength is greater than our struggle. The God whose deliverance is greater than our dilemma. Yes, we have multiple reasons to want to worship the Almighty God because He is deserving of our worship. Today we want to look at the passage that was read. The passage of Ezra chapter 6, and especially verse 14 through 16. Let us have the text read.
And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet of Zechariah, the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandments of God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar.
God's house is the house under consideration there. Read.
The month of Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of this house of God with joy.
Brothers and sisters, from this text, Ezra chapter 6, verse 14 through 16, and other passages, especially from the book of Ezra. I want today to speak and make application in respect to spiritual success. Understanding that is one of the aim and goal of the lesson is to help us understand that if we have spiritual success, we are likely to have success in the other areas of our lives. Jesus Christ implies this in Luke chapter 12, 31, a passage most of you are acquainted with. And 3 John, it has one chapter, verse 1 and 2. What did I say? That from this passage, we want to speak and make application about spiritual success. Understanding that if we have spiritual success, we are likely to have success in the other areas of our lives. Listen, Jesus Christ, in the passage of Luke chapter 12, and verse 31, and 3 John, having only one chapter, verse 1, well, rather verse 2. Let us hear it.
But rather seek ye the kingdom of God.
Seek ye the kingdom of God.
And all these things shall be added unto you.
You get it? That is Luke 12, 31. Jesus Christ said, make God's kingdom your priority. Put out effort in that area. Try to succeed in that area. And he said, you know what? All the other things you're fussing about, they will fall into place with God's help. Look now at 3 John, as I've said, and as you know, it has one chapter. Let us hear verse 2.
Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper.
You see, God wants his people to be prosperous. But notice God's priority. I wish above all things
that thou mayest prosper.
That you may prosper.
And be in health.
And be in health.
Even as thy soul prospereth.
You notice, the spiritual prosperity was in place. So John could now address the less important prosperity and wish that they would prosper in that area. But the Christian to whom he was writing made sure that with God's help, spiritual prosperity was there. The main purpose of this lesson is to remind us that there are evil forces that do not want us as God's people to succeed spiritually. That's one of the main reasons for this lesson. To remind us that there are evil forces that do not want us to succeed spiritually. And be that you are an individual child of God, or be that it is in reference to a congregation. There are forces, real forces out there that do not want us to succeed spiritually. Wait, I'm not talking about academic success. I'm not talking about vocational success. The emphasis is not on political success, but spiritual success. Many Christians are not aware of how determined Satan is to defeat them and to mar their spiritual success, to destroy their plans, and to defeat God's purpose in their lives. Many Christians are not aware of this. Brother Mitchell, repeat that. Sorry you asked me to repeat it. I want to go on. But I will repeat it since you asked. Many children of God are not aware of how determined Satan, the devil, Lucifer, is to defeat them and to mar their spiritual success, to destroy their plans and to destroy, or rather to defeat God's purpose in their lives. Watch here, no? Watch here. Sometimes too many Christians act naively, foolishly. In what way, Brother Mitchell? There are Christians, too many, that believe the confusion that they experience when trying to do the will of God. They feel that those confusion is a natural thing. Watch me. There are many Christians who believe that feeling discouraged is a natural Christian experience because spiritual work is difficult work anyway, so it's just natural that we feel discouraged. They believe that people sometimes just don't know how to handle or control their emotions. So when you see people act certain way emotionally that are contrary to God's will, don't make it a big thing. It's a natural thing. They just don't know. There are many people who feel that people just don't know how to bridle their tongues. There are many people who think that backbiting and gossip are innocent pastimes. It's not so detrimental. Are we there? There are many people who feel it's okay to join any church. What's the big thing? We are all using the same Bible and worshiping the same God. There are many people who feel that it is okay to believe anything religiously. They do not realize that all these things that have been listing are strategy of Satan to defeat them and to get them in the eternal hell. Indeed, many men and women fail to acknowledge that there are evil forces at work. Men and women who feel it's natural to feel discouraged. They never think that it might be Satan working in them to discourage them in their spiritual pursuit. So they feel, they fail to acknowledge that there are evil forces at work. To defeat them, to make them fail. They don't realize that Satan is there working, attacking the children of God to keep them from being successful spiritually. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 reads as follows. And somebody look at Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 through. Well, verse 12 following. Let us hear 1 Peter chapter 5, 8.
Be sober. Be vigilant.
Start again.
Be sober.
Don't act like you are drunk. Like you are intoxicated. We need to have our head and our bodies in serving God. Be sober.
Be vigilant.
Be vigilant.
Because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Now notice, the devil is not running. Had he been running, he may run past some people. He's walking. That means he's not going to miss any of us. And he's seeking people to devour them. That, wait, you notice the figure speech. Just like a hungry lion. Anything he sees that he can eat, he's going to eat it. Now the point is, as Satan walks around and go around, he's looking, especially for the men and women who are trying to serve God, to destroy them. Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 following,
for we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Another brother of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 11, for we are in a fight. But it's not a fight with our fellow men and women as such. We wrestle not with flesh and blood,
but against principalities.
Against principalities.
Against powers.
Against powers.
Against the rulers of darkness of this world.
You all get it? That's the person with whom we are fighting. And you better believe that we are fighting with him. Read on.
Against the rulers of darkness of this world.
Against the rulers of darkness. Satan is the one who instigates and controls and all the sinful and godly things that goes on in the world.
Against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Spiritual wickedness in high places.
Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God.
But you need to arm yourself. That's right. You need to arm yourself. And you do not need partial armor. You see, a lot of times that's our problem. Take unto you the whole, the complete, the entire armor
of God,
of Jesus Christ. Read.
That he may be able to withstand in that evil day.
That's the only way you are going to be able to stand. Read.
And having done all, to stand. Verse 40. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel,
and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Read.
Above all.
Wait. Here's something that is priority in our armor. He said, if by chance you are not able to put on some of the other armory, make sure you don't miss this one. Above all,
taking the shield of faith.
The shield of faith.
Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Read on.
And take the helmet of salvation.
Uh-huh.
And the sword of the Spirit.
These three pieces of armory that he mentioned here last, he said, make sure they are with you. You cannot succeed without them. I like the sword of the Spirit, which is the word
of God.
Of God. So, Satan does not want God's people to be successful spiritually. He does not. He therefore has a plan and a strategy to confuse God's people. In our effort to live the Christian life, Satan has a plan and a strategy to frustrate the Christian, to distract the child of God. Instead of focusing on your Christian life and growing as a child of God and working for Christ, Satan has a way of bringing other things, secular, worldly things, to distract us. They absorb so much of our thoughts, our time, our energy. We hardly have time for Christ, Christianity, and the church. And it never dawned on us that Satan is at work in those areas. Not only to distract us, but to distort. That is to let things look good that are not good, and let things look bad that are good. And to discourage us, and to deceive us. So that when Satan applies the confusion in our lives, the frustration in our life, the distraction in our life, the distortion, the discouragement in our lives, God's people think and behave in a manner that leads to spiritual failure. Watch here, watch here. We find ourselves growing weak. But you know the problem, the greater problem, a lot of times we don't even realize that we are growing weak. We find that interest we have in God's business, Christianity, worship, the church, 2-3 years ago, as much interest is not there. And we don't realize that Satan is at work. We find that we are mixed up in our priorities. The only thing we want to take seriously and put out effort for are material and worldly things. And it doesn't dawn on us that something is going on wrong in our lives. Then finally we backslide. And a lot of these things, they do not look so detrimental to us. Never dawn on people that Satan is at work. No, Ezra. Satan does not want God's people to be successful spiritually. Note Ezra chapter 4, 1 through 5.
Now when the adversaries...
Wait. You remember chapter 6? Verse 14 through 16. For your memory, I'm going to ask one of the brothers to quickly read that again. That was the passage that was read. before I came up, and I want that be read again. Let us hear it.
And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered.
Wait, Brother Blake, that means they were successful in their undertaking. What I'm going to relate in a few minutes is that because of the Israelite sin and disobedience to God, the Almighty God had allowed them to be taken into captivity 70 years before. Now the Almighty God is back to work on their behalf. So you are at chapter 6, verse 14 through 15. Read, 16.
And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet of Zechariah, the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandments of God, commandments of the God of Israel. And according
you are noticing with me? It was not their whims and fancy. Rebuilding the temple was God's will. The temple represents God's house in a sense. God's presence among the Israelites. It takes the place of the tabernacle. Read.
According to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar.
Wait, that means they were successful. But watch here now, chapter 4, verse 1 through 5.
Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers.
I want you to watch this. If you don't have a Bible to read, listen carefully. If you have a Bible to read, read and note what you're reading. We see some subtlety here. We see Satan at work in ways that you'd never dream that Satan was at work. And we need to observe and learn. When the adversary, the enemies of God's people, realize that God's people were there to restore the temple for the true worship of God, they came and offered their help. Are we there? You are there with me? You did it with me? Okay. Read, brother.
Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you.
Wait. Just the first line again in verse 1.
Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard...
Not there. It mentioned the adversary of Benjamin and Judah. That's the tribe. The two tribes that joined together in trying to maintain God's way of life. Notice the adversary here were the Samaritans. Wait, Brother Mitchell. Don't the Samaritans are in the New Testament? No, they came way from here. The adversary here are the Samaritans. It is Jews who had intermarried with Gentiles until they lost their identity. That's right. So we have them here. Read.
Chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you.
Read.
For we seek your God. As ye do.
Just as you do. Read.
And we do sacrifices unto him.
We have been sacrificing. Put another way, no? We have been worshipping the same God you are worshipping.
Read. Since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Ashur, which brought us up, either. But Zerubbabel,
he's the leader for the Jews. He's the leader who returned from captivity in Babylon and returned to Jerusalem. In fact, Zerubbabel sprung from David. Zerubbabel saw through all of the hypocrisy. So Zerubbabel said,
but Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us.
What verse is that?
End of 3.
Read, brother.
Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people.
Watch here now, and I'm going to tell you again that circumstances does not make the man, it reveals the man. Very important. Watch here now. They came offering their help. There are a lot of lessons in this for the church. Lesson in respect to be careful with whom we fellowship. Be careful when people come offering help and this and that. Let us never forget the New Testament standard. Watch here now. The leaders, Zerubbabel and others, having the knowledge and the vision and the wisdom to see through them, rejected their offer. Watch this Samaritan now.
Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah.
The people of the land, you know, is the same one that are mentioned in the first statement in verse 1 as the adversary. The same one that I'm telling you they were, the Samaritan. They have just a few seconds of people offered to help them. And now watch them.
People of Judah troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose.
Did y'all hear that? Wait, remember, you know, we are here to look at the length and breadth that Satan will go to prevent God's people from being successful. Because these were agents of Satan. Wait. You thought he comes with big horn and he said, no, sir. He comes through human being like we are. The very people who came to the Israelite leaders and said, we want to help. We worship the same God you worship. Are the very ones who are now saying. In fact, they employ what in verse 5?
And hired counselors against them.
They hired counselors against the Israelites.
To frustrate their purpose.
Y'all hear that? To frustrate their purpose.
All the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia.
Brothers and sisters, as I said, circumstances does not make the man or the person. It reveals the person. Always is that make me do this? Is that make me say this? May I repeat? The word circumstances does not make the man or the person, it reveals the person. May I? When they try to get a foothold on the inside of the Israelite project. That's all. When they come, we want to help build. We worship your God. When they come with all these nice words, all that Satan wanted was for them to get on the inside. When the leaders of the Israelite people, wise enough and knowledgeable enough to see the trickery and rejected, here now, the same people is showing their true colors. They were so desperate to defeat the Israelites that they employed counselors. May I application, Brother Mitchell? Sometimes a person is rightly and properly rebuked. Are we there? Are we there? We are not there. Well, learn, because sometimes within days you see this at play. Sometimes a person is rightly and properly rebuked. There are times when a person does not have his or own way. And you see action that is so nasty and ungodly and unchristlike. Now, if we are not careful, if we are naive and foolish and don't understand, we'll blame that nasty attitude on a thousand different things. But no, in so many cases, we are wrong. All that nasty attitude was there before. It was just looking for avenue to manifest itself. What somebody will say, well, Brother Mitchell, here are some people who come to offer their help and Zerubbabel rejected them. They have a right to be vexed. Well, even if they are upset, they don't have a right to be acting the way they acted. They took positive steps to defeat God's people. Why? That was what was there all along. And this is what is meant. Circumstances does not make the man. It only reveals what is there. Very important. Brothers and sisters, are we there? Israel, get this now. Israel, God's people were allowed by God to go into captivity in Babylon. God allowed this. God allowed Nebuchadnezzar. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar. You see, at this time, he is in bed. Time Babylon was not ruling, it was Persia ruling over Babylon. So don't think I'm confusing myself here. Yes, God had permitted Nebuchadnezzar to take the Israelite captive, make them slaves in Babylon because of their sin and disobedience, which reached an intolerable level. Notice where the sin reached. And a lot of times we see this. Sometimes we even act like this and do not know how terrible God look on certain things. The sins of the Israelites reach a point where God had to take steps in using a heathen king to take them in captivity. Turn to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 36 verse 15 and 16. Read quick, brother, time is going. 2 Chronicles 36 verse 15 and 16.
And the Lord God of their father sent to them by his messenger.
Wait this. The Lord God of their father sent to the Israelites.
By his messengers.
By his messengers.
Rising up bedtimes. And sending. Because he had compassion on his people.
Because God loved his people, he sent his messenger, the prophet, the priest. Read on.
People and on his dwelling place.
Mm-hmm.
But they mocked the messengers of God.
They mocked the messengers of God. Watch here. Don't move, brother. When God sends your help, be careful how you relate to that help. When God sends you blessing to enlighten you, to help you to know God and know God's will, be careful how you respond to that. Read, brother.
But they mock the messengers of
God. They mock the messengers of God.
And despise these words.
And despise the words spoken by the prophet.
And misuse his prophets.
They misuse God's prophet.
Until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people.
Did I tell you that their sin reached an intolerable situation where God says it's time to take step?
Till there was no remedy.
Till there was no remedy. Are we there? Then discourage God's messenger and make his work difficult. This, we see this play out in the New Testament when Jesus Christ, in the book, I think, of Matthew chapter 10, told his apostle that when you go to a place and they do not respond to you positively, the very dust shake it off. We must be careful how we respond to the help, the guidance that God sends our way. Learn and take lesson from this. God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to ransack Jerusalem, tore down the wall and destroy the temple and carried the Israelites away into captivity into Babylon. This was 70 years before this time. We are now reading about Ezra and others and Zerubbabel who returned. But this was 70 years after they were taken captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, who at this time had died. And the Persian had captured Babylon and were now ruling. I may have to come back to this lesson, but give me a few more minutes. Brothers and sisters, the Israelites at this point reach the stage where the Almighty God again, God, entered the picture again. That was 70 years after Nebuchadnezzar had ransacked Jerusalem, destroyed, torn down the wall, destroyed the temple, carried away the Israelite men into captivity. So God felt that the Israelites had now been chastised enough. He still loved them, still cared for them. Watch here now. The Almighty God gave the Israelites another chance. Look at chapter 1, brother, quick, verse 1 through verse 4.
Ezra chapter 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia.
You see, Cyrus was now in charge, not just of Persia, but of Babylon. Because the Persian kingdom had used the Euphrates River to invade Babylon and to take Babylon captive. So Persia was now in charge. Read.
First year of Cyrus, king of Persia, mm-hmm. that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia.
The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia.
That he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put also in writing, saying, thus said Cyrus, king
Listen
of Persia.
Carefully. God is at work. God is actively working to emancipate and free his people, the Israelite, now. Read.
Say, King of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth,
mm-hmm.
and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
which is in Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. That is, in effect, let him return. If you are an Israelite, that's the reference to God's people here, are the Jews. If you are a Jew, I am giving you the freedom to return to your homeland. Read, brother.
Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah,
uh-huh.
and build the house of the Lord God
of
Israel.
Let him go and build God's house.
He is the God,
uh-huh.
which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold. And
here. Brothers and sisters, you know, very important. That you get this, the proclamation of the king of Persia is of such that he said, if an Israelite live among anybody, let that person help the Israelite who want to return and build God's house. Let that person help the Israelite with gold and silver and precious stones. Read.
And with goods and with beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of God.
Is God doing this, you know? You all get it? It's God working through the king of Persia. And you notice one of the things that you shouldn't let pass is how God expects giving. He said, you must not only give your free will offering. There's not something there, brother, about beside your free will offering.
And a beast beside the free will offering for the house of God.
We have not yet learned to give. That's right. When we give our free will offering, we say, God, you're not getting any more. You're too craven. Let's see. Beside your free will offering. Read, brother.
Say the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem.
What verse is that?
End of 4.
Stop, dear brother. May I? From this, Christian, learn. Don't ever sell God's child. Don't ever when the Israelites thought that everything was hopeless. The kingdom in which they were, Persia, ruled. The Persians were heathen. They didn't know God. They did not accept God. Don't ever sell God short. Don't ever underestimate God. No matter how gloomy this situation appears, God can touch people's heart. When the verse says God stirred up the spirit, that means God was working through the mind of the king, the heathen king. God can touch people's heart and can make people think. Watch here. In ways and manner that they are not accustomed to thinking. God can do that. Are you there? The Almighty God can make people say yes when usually they would say no. God has the power to stir the heart of men and women. And to bring about transformation, even temporarily. I wish I had time to show you illustration from two other Old Testament texts. Let me close right here. So let me just relate one of the texts. here the Persian king is not only emancipating the Israelites and giving them instruction to go back to their homeland and to build the house up. To build the house up. Say it a little louder now. To build the house up. God! He's not only doing that. is asking his own people, if Israelites live among them, for them to contribute gold, etc., etc. God can stir the heart of men. You know, what I find fascinating in putting this lesson and using as illustration one or two other, one of the passages I want to use as illustration, but we won't have time to read it. Now, is when Pharaoh let the children of Israel go and hasten them. Get out of Egypt, quick, quick! And not sooner than they left, he said, my God, what did I do? God is capable of doing that. Not just then, but today. Don't give up on God. Don't sell God short. It matters not how dismal the situation looks. We close with that until I pick up on this lesson again. Might be next week or some years to come. Suffice it to say, Satan does not want God's people to succeed. I wish we had another time to get into that, to show you how the enemies work. Oh my God. Satan is working like that today, determined to make sure we fail. But do you know, ultimately the Israelites succeed with God's help. Become a child of God today and have the Almighty God working on your side. That's right. Have Him working with you and for you. How do I become a child of God, Brother Mitchell? By hearing His word that God loves you and cares for you. By hearing His word that God has a plan for your salvation. Because, you see, your greatest need, yes, you need a job and you need to be healed, to get better of the ailment that you have. Yes, and God knows that. In fact, the Almighty God knows much about your situation than you know. When I was up in Canada recently, one of my younger brother was, we always talk about our mother. She was such a great woman, but we had a big laugh. He was telling me how my mother sent him out and he met some of his friends and they romp and play and forget. Now we know our mother. And he said when he reached home, he was expecting that the whole district break loose because our mother, you know. But when he reached home, our mother was quite nice and he got his dinner. And so he was wondering, what's wrong? That's, you know, how poor so nice. Everything went, and went to bed the night. And then he felt our mother beating him. But something he didn't know that his mother knew, our mother knew. Our mother knew that him depend on his leg, and we run at midnight, and we run out the house. So while he was there sleeping, our mother went and tied him. Time. Trevor's contention is, he said, I didn't know my mother know that I sleep soundly. Because he didn't feel when our mother was tying him. The point is, in the same way that our mother knew him more than he, God knows our need more than we know. That's right. And our greatest need is not material things. Yes, we want to be healed, to be better from the ailment. We want a job, and and we want the problem that I'm facing be removed. Yes, God is aware of that more than you. But you know, God knows that your greatest need is forgiveness of sins.